Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Before the Super Bowl. I mean, so he is like Mohamed Sanu for a long time. Tanitra dug that up out of the files pre-Super Bowl. So Bill Belichick gets his man in Mohamed Sanu. And welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Well, this Tuesday turned took a little bit of an interesting turn about 40 minutes ago when we got word that the Falcons had made their, first trade of the trade period here. The trade deadline is a week from today. The Falcons trading Mohamed Sanu to the New England Patriots for a second-round pick.
Yeah, it looked like Mohamed Sanu would get a chance to, you know, play in the Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl title. That's what it looks like so far. You know, nobody knows, but it looks like the Patriots are on course to make that happen again. So, you know, you're happy for him for that. But at the same time, here as a Falcons fan, it kind of makes you wonder what this team is doing and what's the mindset. Because honestly, that almost looks like you're throwing up the white flag, to be totally honest. Totally honest. Mm-hmm. Full disclosure. Looks like you're throwing up the white flag.
404-741-0929. We have a chance to talk about this breaking news. Certainly, you can weigh in on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, and a lot of people are, or on our Twitter at 929 The Game, at BigHugh53, at John Fricke. We're all reacting with this news. Now, let's just, so that we're clear, it's not necessarily official. It's only 8 o'clock in the morning, and so we'll have to get the, air quotes, everybody, official word, but it's official. I mean, when you have Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport and Vaughn McClure and D. Led, I mean, every media member in the NFL is running with this. It's big headlines all over the place. This is a done deal. Actually, I think, you know, that, and Abe and I were just, the producer and I were just talking about this in the break, Hugh, a second-round pick for Mohamed Sanu, that's not a bad get.
It's not. But you're talking about a guy who was multifaceted in his ability to do a lot of different things on a team that really, really needs to try to figure it out. And to lose a guy like that, fans are looking at it like, what the wang dang doodle are we doing? But you got to give Calvin Ridley a chance to catch the ball a little bit more. And I think by Sanu not being there, that's going to be the case. This is a performance-based business. You know, and you're talking about, you know, going out and getting that first-round draft pick and Ridley and not letting him be a big part of the offense, that's kind of a tough sell. You know, you got to get him more involved, and this is a way to get him more involved.
All right, so we're going to get your reaction to this trade. Again, one of the reasons I think that you can look at this from a Falcons standpoint about getting Mohamed Sanu traded quickly is that in this discussion that's happening in the NFL right now about the trade deadline a week from now, there were certain teams at the top of the league that were going to be buyers. San Francisco unbeaten, New England unbeaten. They were certainly buyers, and both teams wanted another wide receiver. And the Falcons wanted to make sure that they weren't going to get aced out here. Suddenly San Francisco would go get A.J. Green or something, and the next thing you know, Mohamed Sanu has no value to you. So you just go first and get what you can get. In this case, the second-round pick of the New England Patriots, which will be probably at the very end of the second round, but that will give you a high first, a high second, an end of the second, and a high third. So four picks, you know, at the top of the third round. So the Falcons will have some assets to play with, and they may not be done. Because, Hugh, we start looking, and this is another thing you can react to as well. You know, who is going to be next? Will it be Vic Beasley? Could they trade Devontae Freeman? Could they trade Dez Trufant? Do you expect that they are going to make multiple trades now?
I don't know, John. I don't know. That the name that I've heard out there that they're potentially thinking about trading is Vic Beasley. That's the last name I heard. As far as everybody else concerned, I don't know. We talked about this a couple of days ago, and we were speculating who is untradeable. And I would venture to say that right now the only guy that's untradeable is a Matt Ryan. Now, we speculated about some other folks, you know, Austin Hooper and things like that. I can't see Austin Hooper being traded, but stranger things have happened. So that's kind of where I'm at with it.
Well, certainly Austin Hooper is somebody the Falcons would like to bring back. But here's the reality with Austin Hooper. He's in the final year of his rookie contract. He's making $770,000. If you sign him at the end of this year, he is going to go up to where that the big tight end, he's going to get big boy money. Okay, next year, Austin Hooper will make somewhere in the neighborhood of $10 million. Okay, so you're going to go from $770,000 to $10 million with Austin Hooper. That, by the way, happens to be the projected tag price for a franchise tag for a tight end should the Falcons want to tag Austin Hooper. But there's all sorts of considerations here about what you do in terms of the future of the franchise. If, in fact, you are reworking, you're not rebuilding because you have so many pieces, but reworking and reimagining this franchise because you have to. We thought they did in the offseason, Hugh, with the offensive line. Hey, we're going to rebuild the offensive line. Here's Carpenter, here's Brown. We got now you can't have projected that Lindstrom would be out, you know, so far all season. We got a number one pick in Lindstrom and a number one pick in McGarry, and we're fine. We got the offensive line, and you see what's happened with that. It's been not good. Let's get your reaction to all of this. We go to Terry in Brookhaven with John and Hugh. Hey, Terry.
Terry, good morning.
Hey, good morning, man. I'm glad to be on. Hey, listen, I'm with Hugh. This just seemed like a desperate move by the Falcons. It seemed like something that Dan Quinn is doing just to show the front office that, hey, you know, I'm trying, so to speak. If they think that Mohamed Sanu was the problem for this team, then I don't know what they're smoking up there. Mohamed Sanu came to play every day. The guy has just been a great guy since he's been here. So I'm not understanding this trade, but I will congratulate Mohamed Sanu because he's going to go to the Patriots. He's going to win a Super Bowl. And, you know, good things are going to come from it. Mohamed Sanu is going to shine at the Patriots like he should have shined here. Unfortunately, play calling and Matt Ryan couldn't really get it to him the way he wanted to all the time. But, you know, I just think this was a desperation move by the front office and Dan Quinn to show Arthur Blank that, hey, you know, we're trying something new. And you know, I'm just going to congratulate Mohamed Sanu ahead of time. Thanks, guys, for taking my call.
That's Terry in Brookhaven. Here are a couple of facts. I understand what Terry's saying, and I know that a lot of people in your cars this morning are probably nodding your heads and echoing it. From a Falcons standpoint, there is something else to keep in mind here. The Falcons are going to be in cap hell next year. The cap numbers for a lot of players are going to go up. Julio Jones, Matt Ryan most notably, which is why you know you could prepare yourself for Matt Ryan getting a new deal. Because, you know, they got to try and defer some of this cap money. So there's cap reasons you're trying to create money. But when you get a second-round pick here, Hugh, it's also saying to me, like you tried to draft into the offensive line this year, I see where the Falcons are loading up to go heavy, heavy draft picks because they're going to be limited on money and go heavy into a defensive draft next year. Heavy. With four picks, you know, right off the top, going defense, 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 defense in an effort to try to do an immediate fix on that defensive line. I can see where they're going. If you told me they were going to take a rush end, a defensive tackle, and another defensive tackle in their first three picks, I'd believe you.
Yeah, because we were talking about that earlier this week. We were saying basically that that's probably where they're going to go. That's where it looks like they need the most help on. And then on top of that, John, they spent a lot of money in the offseason on the offensive side of the ball. So it makes sense. It's really a no-brainer that they're going to probably, you know, address that defensive side of the ball, especially when you look at the non-factor that the defensive line has been so far this year. Haven't got a whole lot of pass rush. 5 sacks on the season. The way you fix that, you go out and you go get some bona fide players. You get rid of some guys. You move along. You move away from some guys. You try to recoup some of that money that way, and you go out and get some guys that can go out there and play. That's one of the main reasons why they're probably trying to trade Vic Beasley. Try to get some of that money back.
Let's get more of your reaction to the breaking news this morning that the Falcons have traded Mohamed Sanu. Is this going to be the first trade that the Falcons will make before the trade deadline a week from today? We go to Virginia Highlands and Robin. Hey, Robin.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Let's first say thank you so much to Mohamed Sanu. He's been an amazing player for us. But, Hugh, to your point, people asking why, you know, what's going on, why are the Falcons doing this? I mean, to me, there's no question. I mean, we got worked by virtually a college team in Arizona. We just got worked by the Los Angeles Rams, who are not very good at home. We are done for the season. There's no more season for the Falcons this year. Whatever we can do to improve for another year is what we have to do. That's my opinion.
Robin, weighing in.
I appreciate your input. I totally understand where you're coming from, and I see it kind of the same way that you see it, but I also see it in the sense that, you know, they're trying to get Calvin Ridley the ball more. I mean, that's the most logical thing. It's just, you know what the unfortunate thing about this move is? This move has been trying to be made by the Patriots for a long time. It's just unfortunate that it's being made now with the Falcons looking the way that they're looking. You know, and there's so much speculation on whether or not Coach Quinn is going to get fired and things of that nature. So that's why, you know, that kind of adds fuel to the fire. But I think it's more, if you step back from it, it's more about trying to get Calvin Ridley more touches and getting some of those young receivers in there and see if they, you know, what kind of contribution they can make. You know, but like you said, in a sense, it is kind of like you're giving up because you're moving on from a proven commodity to see if you can see if some of these young guys can play. It's the numbers game in NFL, people. That's what we're playing right now, the numbers game.
The Falcons making this move this morning, again, first broken by Adam Schefter, quoting sources, and then followed by other national media. Mohamed Sanu to the New England Patriots, who won last night to go to 7-0. And one of the things that was reported in Tanitra Batiste also noted this, that the Patriots have been coveting, as you heard in that soundbite at the beginning of the segment here, Bill Belichick talking about how much he liked Mohamed Sanu, and that was 3 years ago, coveting another wide receiver, and that they had talked to the Falcons prior to the start of the season about Mohamed Sanu. Let's go to Mike in Atlanta. He's on with John and Hugh. Hey, Mike.
Mike.
Hey. I just wanted to say I'm sort of like Hugh. I think they do want to get Calvin Ridley the ball, but, I mean, to me, honestly, when the Falcons get down by 14 – I stopped watching. I know it's over. This team just doesn't show the heart. And now that it seems like they've said, hey, basically the season is over, I'm not watching no more Falcons games. I mean, hey, if they're going to give up on the season, I give up too.
All right, well, that's Mike. And he echoes a lot. Again, a lot of people feel that way. I guess, of course, you know, nature of what we do, Hugh, but also I'm a ride or die guy. I've been through a lot of ups and downs with the Atlanta Falcons over 45 years. I'm not about to give up now. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. So there are some young guys we've talked about. You know, will Austin Larkin, who Jermaine Grace we saw out there last week, John Kaminsky was out making plays. Isn't it time to, you know, let's see what you got in terms of some of these guys, bringing them up off the practice squad? There was some talk about, you know, would you bring in Orlando Scandrick after he was cut? I don't see them necessarily going out and bringing anybody in. Unless they have to because of injury, just no reason to do that. Let's see what some of the young guys have, because you may have more holes to fill here. Russell Gage is going to get a chance here down the stretch, Hugh. He's going to get a chance. So is Justin Hardy. He's going to get a chance to really make an impression on the team because they become – well, what's the story now? Calvin Ridley is absolutely the undisputed number two wide receiver, and Gage or Hardy is the number three. We are reacting to the Mohamed Sanu trade. Your reaction on the phones and on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, also on our Twitter at 929 The Game. Hey, we got a big bowling event coming up tomorrow night, Rock and Jock Celebrity Bowling Tournament. A lot of celebrities there. We're going to be talking about this trade. See, one of the great things about this thing at Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs is it's going to be a party, and you can talk to Brian Jordan and to Harry Douglas and to Hugh in person if you're out there with us at Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs. Two-game bowling tournament benefiting the veterans of the Travis Manion Foundation. Come join us tomorrow. We'll talk about it with you in person. $1,000 to the winning team, $1,000. More information at 929thegame.com. And check out the menu and the events tab at 929thegame.com. With John and you on Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929thegame.com. More reaction to this new trade next.
Now the wild bean is in place. Mohamed Sanu in the gun. Sanu juggled it, now going to throw it, tee it up for Julio Jones. Julio's there, and it's caught! Touchdown, Atlanta! Sanu!
Yeah, one of the great highlights of Agent 12, Mohamed Sanu, as an Atlanta Falcon, now traded to the New England Patriots, where he'll team up with you-know-who, and you-know-who as a head coach and a quarterback. And a chance to...
Really?
For Mohamed.
Really, playing bye-bye? Boy, that's...
Mohamed Sanu to get a ring.
It's terrible.
Falcons get a second-round pick in return, and so a lot of questions here about this morning. Some people thinking that this is the beginning of the tank, and the Falcons are going to start shredding players. And I tend to agree that they're going to be the first of more than one trade that the Falcons will make in an attempt to acquire draft picks because of having to rework the team in some regards. And you're going to have to give up assets that you may not want to part with when you get into this mode, Hugh, and I know that some people are going to be really upset that Muhammad Sanu is gone. I'm disappointed. I love Muhammad as a player, really like him as a person. But when you're trying to rework the franchise, you can't just say, well, we want to get rid of the guys that we don't want. You have to get rid of guys that have capital with somebody else.
Well, too. You got to have, like, assets. Mm-hmm. He's an asset right now, and he's an expendable asset. Let's look at this from a football perspective, shall we? He's an expendable asset. You know, he's a good player, no question about that. He still has some value, and he's playing on a team that has someone in the wings waiting that is probably a better player than him or potentially could be a better player than him. And Calvin Ridley, you just don't know because he's not getting that many opportunities. You talk about the game last week. Let me see how many times I'm looking at the receiving core. Calvin Ridley had 4 catches for 30 yards. You know, Muhammad Sanu only had 1 for 3. But still, the point being is that with Muhammad Sanu gone, then you're probably going to be targeting Calvin Ridley just a little bit more. And you got some other guys that are in the supporting cast mode, like Justin Hardy and Russell Gage, that can, you know, pick up the slack a little bit. But Calvin Ridley is the guy that you want to try to get the ball to and take some of that pressure off of Julio Jones.
Somebody just made a really good point in the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. It's a minor little point, but Muhammad Sanu is going to have to change his number. He ain't going to be age at 12. Yeah, it's a really good point. It's not like you're going to go to New England and say, hey, who's got number 12? Can I have that number? No. That number going to be retired. Joshua's in Atlanta. He's on with John and Hugh. Hey, Joshua, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man.
I like the trade for the second round pick. One thing I did notice is Muhammad Sanu got to be coming up on the contract. And do you really have the cap space to give Muhammad Sanu a contract extension? And, you know, you're getting a second round pick for Muhammad Sanu. Now, I like it as it stands right now, but if Thomas Dimitrov and Dan Quinn still are there, I don't like it because we don't know what we're doing with second round picks. Thomas Dimitrov, to me, has not been able to find talent like that in the draft. I love potential, but potential ain't winning football games because if you just look over the last 5 years, those first round picks have not looked that great. The second round picks haven't looked all that great because I think Jalen Collins was a second round pick. I think Duke Riley was a second round pick. You know, Vic Beasley, and now we're trying to trade Vic Beasley after paying him $12.5 million. Who wants a $12.5 million defensive end that don't get to the quarterback? And then Pat McKinley, I don't know what he over there doing. You know, we thought he was gonna come down to do something. So I like the trade for Muhammad Sanu. I like the fact that the Falcons are trying to do something for next year. But if Thomas Dimitrov and Dan Quinn are who are going to be up there picking it, then we just wasted time right there getting the second round pick.
Yeah, that's certainly that's a fair point. No, and that's a fair point, Joshua, and I appreciate your weighing in here because a lot of people are going to say that here. They're going to say, okay, you got a second round pick for Muhammad Sanu. Now you have – two second round picks and a third round pick, and at this point you expect those picks in the first, second, and third round, every round, to be pretty high. So you have a high first, a high second, a late second, probably end of the second, and a high third. And so, do you trust Thomas Dimitrov to make those? Because it is a fair thing. I mean, over the course of the last 5 drafts between Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitrov, there have been a lot of misses, more misses than hits.
Yeah, but when you look at if you're being realistic and you're being fair. That's every team in the NFL. You know, and the one thing that there you always hear about the NFL draft the last couple of years is that there's more value in those later picks. That's where the really meat and potatoes are in those later picks as opposed to those earlier picks. Think about it like this, John. We just gave up – well, we didn't give up. The Rams just gave up 2 first-round draft picks and a fourth for Jalen Ramsey – and I would probably venture to say that out of those 2 draft picks that they gave up, that fourth round draft pick might be a guy that might stay in the league for a longer period of time than those first 2 draft picks. That's the value that the later draft picks have nowadays. And as far as Thomas Dimitrov and Coach Quinn are concerned about is how they draft, they got Austin Hooper and Grady Jarrett in those later rounds that they can crow about that. And if you look at the percentages, if you're gonna be realistic about it, and you look at all the draft picks from all the teams in the last couple of years, everybody probably has about a comparative track record like Thomas Dimitroff has when you look at the draft picks as a whole. It's just that we're boots on the ground and we see it on a regular. But in a fair assessment of it, they haven't really been that bad with the picks that they've made in the later rounds. Deion Jones, another guy that they got in the later rounds that's been a pretty good draft pick. So, yeah, they've done pretty good as far as drafting. We just don't like it because it's like, you know, you got that glaring Vic Beasley that's sitting right there, and you got Tack that looked like he might not be, you know, worth the money that we're paying him. But all in all, they haven't done that bad when it comes to drafting. I know people don't want to hear that, but I'm being honest. When you look at some of them later draft picks, they have hit on those guys.
Yeah, they've hit in the later rounds. The top of the draft, they haven't hit. They've had 10 picks in the first two rounds. Over the 5 years, they have two starters out of it, out of 10. You know, granted, one of them is injured in Keanu, but yeah,
and
that's
the book is still open on him. Yeah. Caleb McGarry,
yes, he
for
had,
under the duress that he's been under,
yeah,
not been that bad. I mean, to be honest, not been bad.
You can't grade this last draft yet. There's no way you can grade.
But I'm just grading him on the games that he's been thrown to the belly of the beast. Like he's not been that bad. He ain't been that bad. He's had his moments where we look at him and be like, yo, but he's held up pretty decent. For real.
Yeah. We'll certainly focus in on that. Let's go to Chris in Atlanta. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Chris, good morning.
McCall. Hey, guys. I hear everything that you guys saying, man. I am a super diehard fan. I beat the players to the stadium. I'm the last one to leave. I really want to jump on the field and make them practice some more and not let them leave until they finish or at least get some kind of win on the field. But waking up in the sense of new leaves, man, it hurt. Because we didn't really get anything from it. I feel like how you guys were saying, like they've been able to pick great guys in the late rounds. But, yeah, it seems like we're just picking great players, but we're not doing anything with them. We're, like, ruining their career. We get Julio. Like, I honestly am at the point where I'm like, Julio, you need to go on a team that's going to use you so you can win a Super Bowl so you can have a great career. Matt Ryan, go to another team, do your thing, win the Super Bowl with another team. I honestly feel like we need to go back to 1965 and just start all over.
Yeah, he
agrees.
I know, right.
I don't agree with that second-round pick. Like I think Joshua said earlier about having – who are we giving this pick to? Like, who's going to make this decision? Like, it's going to hurt us even more. We end up getting another – excuse my French – an ad back because they don't know who to pick, who to go to. Like – it hurts being a Falcons fan right now.
Yeah, it does hurt being a Falcons fan. Chris, I appreciate it. We're just up against the break here. Sorry about that. Reacting to Mohamed Sanu being traded to the New England Patriots, we'll see if this is the first of multiple picks. For you Falcons fans, you can tune in to 929 The Game 2 hours before every Falcons game. The Bud Light countdown to kickoff. Harry Douglas and Paul Crane are going to be previewing the upcoming matchup this week. That'll be Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks. Countdown to kickoff brought to you by Bud Light, brewed for the Dirty Birds. More of your reaction throughout the day to this breaking news. NFL Network running with it now. And we'll see where we go from here. First of what could be multiple trades for the Atlanta Falcons. When we get back in a moment, Brad Guzan. For a couple of minutes, we'll talk to the Atlanta United keeper about Thursday night's game against Philadelphia Union. With John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bunbury and Bo. It's Bunbury ahead to Bo. Top of the 18. Bo then gives it away to Parkhurst, but it rolls back to Pania. Top of the 18. Shot. What a save, Guzan! Out for a corner. Unbelievable diving save, Brad Guzan.
Mike Honey on 92.9 The Game. Brad Guzan, ever since coming to Atlanta United, about midway through the inaugural season of Atlanta United, has been arguably the best keeper in Major League Soccer. He has had, Hugh, how many? I would say probably
a million clean sheets.
Yeah, there's that. And probably highlight reel saves. The stuff that he makes saves that you go, how in the world did he stop that? I mean, he has been one of the great, well, not only that, but he's in the discussion of the greatest American goalkeepers ever. I mean, that's how good he is. He's in that Tim Howard and, you know, Shep Messing and and Casey Keller discussion of the best ever produced by the United States. He's, you know, a tremendous player, and he is one of the things that Atlanta United is going to have to lean on if they are going to defend their MLS Cup, and especially if they have to go on the road and win it. Should they beat Philadelphia and have to go to New York City for the finals in the East, have to go to L.A. for the MLS Cup, they're going to need Brad Guzan to do what he does, which is stand on his head and have those clean sheets. He is going to be a guy that they're going to have to count on heavily.
I agree, John. I thought you was waxing poetic. I agree. I cannot disagree with anything you just said. I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Yeah, you know, of course, you know, with the game coming up to, Thursday against Philadelphia, this is a Philadelphia Union team that Mike Conley says might be missing its leading scorer, but they just put four on the board against Red Bulls the other day in winning that game. And so, they look, this Philadelphia team has probably been the biggest surprise this season, I think, of anybody in Major League Soccer because, you know, at the beginning of the year, nobody talked about Philadelphia Union.
No, and then at one point, I remember they were leading in the standings, and then all of a sudden, you know, Atlanta United took over, and it's been like a little topsy-turvy thing going all season long. But the win that they had the other day, Philadelphia had, you know, it's going to be a nice little showdown. It's going to be a nice little culmination of you know, a soccer match that's coming up, what, tomorrow night, Wednesday night?
Thursday night. Thursday night, 7 o'clock kick, and as we get ready for Atlanta, pardon me, 8 o'clock kick, 7 o'clock coverage, Atlanta United, Philadelphia Union, round two. And remember this year, there's no more aggregate, because last year, Hugh, we had that second round, and it was, we played, remember, Red Bulls, we had to play them up there, play them down here.
Out, yeah, and then whoever had the most up there, something like that. I remember the aggregate, yeah. It's one and done now, ain't it? One and done.
Yep, it's just like the NFL playoffs. It's one and done. You play and you advance. You play and you advance. And so if they beat Philadelphia on Thursday night at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, they will advance. And, of course, Atlanta United is going to be out there looking to see if NYCFC gets upset or if LAFC gets upset, which is what happened last year. The reason Atlanta United got the championship game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium is because there was an upset in the West, and Sporting Kansas City was taken out. So you have Atlanta United getting the home game as a result, and maybe you get lucky here, Hugh, and you can get games at home, and you don't have to go up to New York and play.
Yeah, but first you got to worry about the Union first before we get that far ahead. I would think.
Right.
You got to worry about the Union first. Don't want to get too far ahead when you're talking about this here matchup.
Talking about Atlanta United and Philadelphia Union Thursday night, 8 o'clock kick on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So we'll certainly be looking forward to that. We're still trying to hook up with Brad Guzan. And so hopefully we can get that taken care of. In the meantime, let's get back, because I want to go back to this, the big breaking news of the day, which is Mohamed Sanu and some of the discussion that we've been having here in regards to Mohamed Sanu and whether or not, you know, suddenly we're going to have Coach Quinn on with us tomorrow. And there are going to be questions that, you know, we have to ask him in regards to, you know, is this the first one? You know, what went into the decision to make this trade? Are we going to see more trades from the team, and whether or not this is the start. Again, we have a week till the trade deadline.
I can tell you right now that we're going to see more trades. That's probably a wasted question. You never show your hand in situations like that. I would guess you could ask, but I would be surprised if he gives you an honest answer when it comes to that one. I think the biggest question on everybody's mind is, okay, what's really going on with the defense? How are we going to fix this? We've been kind of, you know, discussing this for the last couple weeks. And, you know, we know you're working hard. Not a question of whether or not you're working hard. We see that. Dave Archer has pointed that out from the perch when he saw it. The defense is playing hard, but you're still not getting it fixed. What's going on? What do we do now? You've basically said that you've relegated some of the play calling duties to other people. What does that exactly mean? Okay, what are we going to do this week? Like, things are like that. I think those are fair answers. I think those are fair questions. I think, you know, moving forward with the way the team has been playing and, you know, all the speculation going around, like that's a fair question.
Yeah, let me ask you this, Hugh. You're the expert on – well, you're our NFL expert, but especially when it comes to the defense. Is it fixable this year? I mean, we've sat here and all of us said, hey, listen, you need to go to blitzing. They blitzed. You need to do this. They you know, it's not that they didn't try different schemes, different – things, you know, press coverage, you know, just nothing has worked. Is it fixable this year, or is this a case where you're going to have to just retool in the offseason, go heavy in the draft on defense, and hope that you hit in the draft?
I'm never one to give up. I'm never one to give up or throw in the towel. But, man, when you see some of the adjustments that have been made over the last few weeks and the results being the same and in some cases even look even worse, it's hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel. but I'm going to go ahead and try to see it anyway. Yes, I think it can be fixed. I think that, you know, you saw Vic Beasley out there trying to be valuable in the passing game and some in the rush game. It's that want to, man. Like you got to fix that. I mean, looking at some of the film and watching some of the guys play, it kind of makes you question, what are you thinking when you're out there? You know, I'm not out there, but watch them play sometimes. I'm like, damn, dog, what's on your mind? I would have to ask, and I know in the meetings, I would just have to, what the hell are you doing right here? What is this? What is this? And you have to be held accountable for that. Because I think we're past treating people. I mean, you still treat them with respect. Let me put that out there. You treat them with respect, but boy, you got to feel like I would have to do something to make them feel uncomfortable about the performance that you're putting out there on film. Because like going back, like shout out to all the people on Twitter that are you know, filmologists, like breaking down film and sending it to me on their Twitter feed. Like some of the stuff that you're seeing on film, guess what? When they're in that film room and they're talking about it and they're breaking it down, that it has to be embarrassing. I could hear my coach, if that was me, Tommy Brazier, cussing me out like in the meeting and threatening for me not to play next week if I keep putting that effort out there on the field. Like, I can hear him to this day. That's how he was in the meeting. Like, Douglas, what the hell are you doing on this play? What the you know, Wang Dang Doodle is on your mind? Why aren't you doing this? Why didn't you do that? Like, just being critiqued because that was the standard. Like, when we were in the D-line room, we held it to a higher standard. So it was nothing to get your feelings hurt and laughed at and ridiculed if you didn't do something that you were supposed to do or you didn't know the defense and things of that nature. That's kind of how it was in our defensive room. Mm-hmm. I could imagine what it is. I can't imagine anybody having anything nice to say watching that some of that defensive line play last night. I can't imagine.
Now, the Falcons have let up more points than any team in the league. They're allowing 32 points per game. Per game. New England's allowed 48 points for the season.
Really? like these subliminal messages that he's sending with this music is like ridiculous.
Hey, Hawks fans, opening night is Thursday, and then the home opener is Saturday night against the Orlando Magic. 7:30 opening night presented by State Farm at State Farm Arena. 7:30 against Orlando. Limited seats remain. You need to get your tickets now at hawks.com/tickets. We are going to continue to react to Mohamed Sanu, but next up we're going to go do a little dive into what happened in Athens on Saturday and what is ahead for the Georgia Dogs. Quint Kucinich of ESPN was at the game, reporting on the game. We're going to ask him what he saw and whether the boos were something that he expected given what happened with Georgia in the first half. We're going to discuss that next on The Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 99 The Game and 99thegame.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.